Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ladies Night, Episode 6. This is your girl, Lauren Enchanted, here with Miss Nika Neek.
Hey, y'all.
And we are here today on this lovely Wednesday evening with this wind blowing, looking like it's going to rain, but it feels really good in here. Mm-hmm. And we are enjoying a Roscato wine by Rosso Dolce. Sweet red, and it's really good. It's a little dry, but it's really good. It has that very sweet taste.
$5.99 at the Kroger.
Right, $5.99 or something like that. So turn up and go grab you a bottle. Pause and then come back and listen. No, I'm just kidding. If you're at work, keep listening or whatever. But today we are taking a little bit more of a serious turn. Not too serious, but we're just talking about parent-teacher relationships and teacher-student relationships and education and things of that nature. It is the summertime and the kids are out of school, so I feel like this is a good time to reflect kind of on the last school year. And we'll talk about a few things to kind of keep our kids in gear over the summer so that they don't fall behind test score wise when they go back to school. But I feel like this is a good time to reflect on what went well last year and then some areas we can kind of pinpoint to do better next year. None of our kids, and that's our little buddy Mahari in the background. She wants her water and her mommy's not trying to give it to her.
She's so attitude-y.
Me, mommy. No, I'm just kidding. But we want to get ready for next school year. So we're just talking about that sort of thing. So to start out, I want to ask you, Nika, who was your favorite teacher growing up and why were they your favorite teacher?
I had two favorite teachers. Miss Maroc, she was my AP US history teacher. And Miss Harris, she was my algebra teacher. I liked Miss Harris because she was really funny, but she was still serious at the same time. And she was always joking in class, but she didn't let us slack on our work. And she put it in terms that we could understand it. And then Miss Maroc, she really made me take my education seriously. She said, education is the only thing that's free that everyone tries to get out of. Mm-hmm. And it just really made me rethink, like, am I actually learning or am I just here trying to get through? And she helped prepare me for college a lot. Helped me work on taking notes and just being a better student. And I think that really helped me when I got to college and away from high school. And she also said, this is so off subject, but she told me that me and my boyfriend were going to break up years and years down the road. And we did. I was like, no, we're not.
Right. That's what high school teachers always say. That they like you and that little boy are not gonna be together, or you and them little friends are not gonna be friends forever. That's what high school teachers always say.
They don't know, but they do.
And I'm saying, I guess they're right for the most part. So my favorite teacher, I think I have two of them. Probably one from like when I was young, which is Miss Rhodes. She was my second and third grade teacher. We actually had her for second grade, and she loved us so much. She was like, I'm going to jump the year with you guys and be your third grade teacher too. And so all of our parents signed and everything. But I loved her because it was like, that was when we were learning our times tables and divisions tables. And I think I was the first one to get to like the fives and the tens. So she took me to Dairy Queen and took me to McDonald's, and it was just like, we had a really special relationship. All my friends were white, so it was just like me and her bonded, and she let me try on her engagement ring when she got engaged, and it was just like one of those teachers that really made you kind of want to come to school, you know, where it's like, you're just like, oh, I don't like these people, I don't like this school. And then, I had a lot of good teachers in high school. Professor Henry was probably the one I can remember the most, because she was so hard, she was so evil. And she used to talk so bad to our class. If we came in and act like we didn't do the reading, she would scream and yell and throw books. And you know what I mean? She was just one of the, she was an older black lady, and she was really one of those extra ones that really wanted you to take your education serious, and was just, if you didn't take it serious, then she was just so offended. But I liked her because it was just, yeah, you know, and so it was like when you finally got that A, you finally got that 100% on something, you felt like you earned it, and it was just like, yeah, in your face, lady. You're not ready to get up my paper this time. So she was another one of my favorites.
Speaking of black teachers, I had one black teacher. No, two. My whole 12 years of education.
Really? That's it? And you grew up in Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm. Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Wow, that's crazy. What's the population like there?
30,000 people, 10,000 African Americans, but you don't really see the 10,000, you don't see the 30,000, but it's a predominantly white city. Like, all the black people are in one spot, and most of the white people are in one spot too.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's crazy. Now I'm trying to think back of all the black teachers I've had. My Miss Rhodes was black. She was my second and third grade teacher. Fifth grade, no. Sixth grade. I don't think I had any black teachers until I went back to the charter school I went to, Tinley, and it was predominantly black, so most of the teachers were black.
How was your charter school? I've been thinking about charter school.
You know what? It was very different because it was very... It was very small. I think we started out with like 80 in our graduating class, and we ended up with like 18 that graduated. And it's just very close-knit. You know all the teachers, you know everybody. And so it makes it easier, I guess, to learn because it's just like you have more of that one-on-one time with the teacher. The teacher kind of knows your strengths personally, and they know what you struggle with personally. But as far as like having a social life, it was very small, which not our charter schools are that way. Mine was very new. As far as like the extracurricular activities, it was a very small program. So there wasn't a lot of like the choirs and the sports and all that kind of stuff, which has changed. So I would say still look at it, but it's definitely changed a lot.
They got a lot of different types of schools now, like Montessori schools and...
Right.
I just want my kids to have the best education. I just want them to be at a small school so that they can have that good one-on-one time with the teachers.
Yeah, it definitely makes a difference. Because I think it's easy to get swept under the rug when there's too many of them. You know what I mean?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you could be a good kid with good grades, but you still might have needs and aren't being met because the teacher just thinks, oh, they're fine. They get A's and B's, or they get B's and C's. They don't need me, you know?
That's how I was. And I thought I was smart in high school, but that's just because of the little no child left behind thing. And when I got to college, I really struggled. I had good grades all through high school. I graduated with a 3.7. But when I got to college and it came time to study, I was like, okay. I used to spend hours in the study room trying to figure out how to retain the information and just... I don't go to bed at 3:00 in the morning with nothing in my brain.
Girl, you better than me. At least you were trying to study. My freshman year, I pulled okay grades because I really did try my freshman year. After that, it was just like, I didn't study as much as I did my freshman year. With sophomore year, I was focused on going out of the country and working so much that my grades were impacted, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then after that, it was kind of like playing catch up. But yeah, so at least you put in the effort and you tried. So, talking about parent-teacher relationships, the reason I asked you who your favorite teacher was because I was trying to figure out if you had even, or if your parents had ever had to have, like, an interaction with that teacher, or if there was ever a negative interaction, or if your parents liked the teacher just as well, or...
Girl, my mama didn't know none of my teachers except for my first grade teacher, Miss Anderson.
Really?
Really. I don't even think my mom got to make it to parent-teacher conference, maybe one. She worked so much, but she stayed on me and made sure I had good grades, and she made sure my report card was looking right. But I don't think she ever kept in contact with any of my teachers.
So was it mostly your dad that like came back and forth to, you know what I mean, or didn't?
No, my dad lived up here.
Oh, okay,
in Indianapolis. I think she might have came to a couple. But I was a good student, so it wasn't really, like, a big deal. Now, if some teachers gave out extra credit, that was my biggest concern, wanting the extra credit. But, I mean...
Extra credit for parents coming to parent-teacher conferences?
Yeah.
That's not fair.
But that's important, though.
I mean, it's important, but you can't blame the kids for what their parents are willing to or not willing to do. Because some parents just ain't shit, and they just don't want to be.
Yeah.
You can't blame a kid for that. But, I mean, in hindsight, I can't do anything about it now.
Right.
But that's crazy. I'm trying to think. My teacher, Miss Rhodes, her and my mom seemed like they talked a lot. Plus, I was a troubled kid, so I got in trouble a lot. So they had reasons to talk a lot. By the time I got to high school and had Professor Henry, I don't think she ever met my mom. And I can't say I'm glad she didn't, but she probably would have had a lot to say. And I don't need my mom hearing all that about how I talk in class and all that. So it's fine.
I remember when, you know how your parents can check your grades online now? When that system first came out, I didn't tell my mama nothing about it.
Tamika was trying to be sneaky.
Yeah.
Not feeling her mom in.
Because if I got a bad grade, I remember one time my mama came up to the school because I told her that I wasn't going to have the midterm report that she expected from me. So she took that as, let me go up here and see what she got. She came and got my midterm report before they even printed them.
Damn.
And she took my phone right then and there, and she did not give it back to me until report cards came out.
Damn.
And all I had was a C.
Well,
that was unacceptable for her.
It seems were unacceptable in our household growing up, too. Which I think is, I won't say it's kind of gone away, but it's like, well, I can't even say now, because I don't really know a lot of parents and what their expectations are. But it seems like there are a lot of parents out there who are more accepting to, like, C's in lower grades, mm-hmm. whereas our parents were like, you better not bring no C home. I know you got no C student.
Yeah,
so I don't
want
to see no grades.
They get C's, and I don't even know if they're expected to go to a university like me and my other sister were.
Yeah.
They're like, she's just going to have to go to a junior college. What?
Right. Since when is that an option?
A community. No.
Right. Since when is that an option?
No.
Y'all share.
It's me.
Here.
I know, right? It's all dirty anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go on.
I know, right? We have kids over here fighting for ice, but that's okay because they're fighting quietly this week, so we can't even complain.
Hallelujah.
So, I don't know. It's hard for me to talk a whole lot about parent-teacher relationships since our kids aren't that old yet. But what I can say is I feel like teachers need to give students a chance. I don't feel like they always take the time to get to know a student.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with Hunter, she'll be 3 in July. But they already get progress reports at her daycare. And so it was weird to me once she got a progress report that said, like, needs improvement on a lot of stuff like counting and talking and all this stuff. And I'm just like,
ooh, that would hurt me.
Hunter can count. She's been counting to 20 since she was probably about 1. You know what I mean? She sings all day. She talks all day. You know, the potty training, sure. But it was just like a lot of stuff on there. I was just like, I don't think that's right. And my mom was like, my mom was like, sorry, guys. She was like, you need to go in there and talk to them and figure out what this is about because this isn't right. And I was just like, I just don't think they know her very well because Hunter's very quiet, which you can't tell on the podcast. But she's a very quiet kid, and she plays by herself a lot. So lately I've been going in and talking to them, and they're like, Hunter is just as smart as she wants to be. She knows her colors, and she counts. And it's just like, we'll say, Hunter, let's count. And she doesn't want to do it, but then she walks out by herself, and she's counting in the corner.
We do the same thing.
And so I'm just like, you know, you have to take time to learn kids' learning styles. I think it's important to have a good teacher who is willing to be patient with your children and learn those learning styles.
I definitely agree. When Malik first started at daycare, they don't do progress reports, but they will tell you he needs work on this, he needs work on that, or they'll send out notifications saying what they're working on this week, and I really appreciate that. But I do try to go in there and look at his artwork and just let them know that I'm invested and that I'm here, and I'll ask what they're working on so I can work on it with him at home as well, so that we're being consistent and he's getting, like, I don't want to say double the education, but that we're just being consistent.
Yeah.
And that he's getting that at home as well, because I think like, education really does start at home.
Absolutely.
You can't solely count on the teacher to educate your child. And if you're working with them at home, then they're going to be a little bit more advanced when they go to school.
I agree. And, you know what? I have a friend who worked at a daycare, and she was just like, you know what? So much of the kids, all they get is what we teach them.
Mm-hmm.
All they get is what they get here at daycare, here at school every day. And then they go home, and they, you know what I mean, there's no reinforcement to what they've been taught. There's no anything. There's no new stimulation coming from home. And so she was like, it just gets really hard because, like, we're the teacher and we have to account for all this time where they aren't being stimulated. So I agree. Education absolutely starts at home. And I think parents need to be more mindful of that. And another thing you said that I thought was really good was asking questions. I don't think parents sometimes ask enough questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times, I don't want to seem like I'm taking the teacher's side, but I think a lot of times, you know, it's like, oh, this teacher's not good enough, or the school system doesn't have this, or they need to make sure they're providing this, or the teachers are overworked, blah, blah, blah. But I think just asking questions, asking the teacher what's going on, asking your kid what's really happening in the classroom, just, you know, getting a better feel for what's going on and what's happening.
Yeah. And when Malik first started going to school, it was new for him to be away from his dad. We had just moved up here from Kentucky, and he cried a lot. And he has a cousin that's exactly the same age as him, and they were in different classes at the daycare. And so we thought it was because they weren't getting along. And so we said, why aren't they in the same class? And they told me it was developmental. And that crushed me so bad. I was like, something's wrong with my baby.
Yeah, I swear it will.
And I called his dad and I was like, Malik's not doing good at school. You don't even care. But I just started, I downloaded the eFlash app and we started going over his letters and his numbers and animals and just everything. Or we would start reading stories at night. I just tried to do something educational with him every night before bed. And now he's doing really, really good at school.
Yeah.
So I had to take responsibility for my part in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. We definitely have a part in it. I mean, to act like it's just on the teachers is, you know, a little ignorant. Which, not to make that sound harsh, but I had to do the same thing with Hunter, because once they said that about her, I was just like, I wasn't thinking anything was wrong with her, but from the social side, I was like, why can't my baby socialize? Why doesn't she want to come to the group and count for them and with them, and why doesn't she want to be a part? So I definitely started trying to hang around other people with kids and all that sort of thing, just because it seemed like the right thing to do. And it is certainly hard. As a parent, you never know if what you're doing is right. And then when education comes into play, it's like, shoot, please don't let me raise no dummies. I do not want that on my conscience. So, Hunter's not school age yet. I know your kids aren't. But do you think you'll lean more towards, like, private schools, public schools? Have you given it any thought yet?
I always said I want, my heart, girl. I always said that I wanted to do private school up until they got to high school.
You think so? Why let the cat out of the bag in high school?
Because I want them to have the social aspect of going to a public high school. But I want them to have the foundation early of study habits and academic discipline that they would get at a private school. Because my little sister went to private school until high school, and I went to public school all my life, and I remember her homework was so much harder than what I had when I was in elementary school and middle school. But I thought that was good to have her mind stimulated that way at such a young age.
Definitely.
I thought that was good. I really do want my kids to go to private school, and now that I'm in a bigger city, I think that they could do private school all their days. Hoptown is a really small town, so if they did private school, they probably would have had a class with 15 people in it.
Right.
But
not very big at all.
Lots more people go to private schools here, and they still get that public school experience, but the private school education.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it, too. I really have been thinking about trying to get Hunter and what I would need to do to get her to the international school. Just because, like you said, that educational piece, I really want her to have a good education. And, you know, just be ahead of the game as far as her mental goes. But I'm scared about the social piece because it's just like I do want her to be socialized and be familiar with diverse backgrounds. You know what I mean? And not be uncomfortable around her own people, because most of the private schools are predominantly white, I would guess. And so I just want her to be very culturally aware. So that's something that I think about. That's definitely something that I think about. Which I don't know, I'm undecided. The thing about private schools is they cost money. So it's just like, where's that money? Okay. And you know what? I think you can apply for scholarships, or you can apply based on like income. Yeah. Stuff like that. So I think it's definitely doable. It's just like, oh gosh, this is a big commitment.
Something that you said about private schools being predominantly white, I think about that too. But then again, I think I can educate her on her culture, their culture at home, and they'll be around our family members, and they'll still have friends, hopefully, that are black, and not just friends that they have at school, but, you know, like their cousins and people that their cousins introduce them to. I would like to think that they will still be around their culture.
Right, this is true.
Even if they're not in public school. And it's a white world.
I know, right? You might as well get them ready for reality.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely an all-white world.
Yeah, it's a white world. And they need to know how to act around these white people. They need to act like they got some sense. And I hate to say that. I really do. But that's just the reality.
If I feel like if you want to survive in corporate America, you have to know what it's about. And that's kind of why I wish I would have went to an HBCU for undergrad. But at the same time, I'm not mad that I went to a PWI, because I just feel like, you know what, this is what I have to deal with every day. So it was just like a soft opening to the real world.
I wanted to go to an HBCU too, but my uncle, he said, if you're applying for jobs and you put on there UK or Spelman, they're probably going to pick the UK graduate just because they have more interaction with a diverse group of people instead of predominantly African Americans.
Yeah.
So I think I made the right decision. I mean, HBCUs look more fun.
I know, right? And I like the network that a lot of people have graduated with. But I mean, there's pros and cons to each one.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you can find that plug of people, that group of people at PWIs. You know, they probably got a black club for every major. You can find
this is true. And we definitely had a black student union. I was the president.
What
the
hell? I didn't like our black student union. Well, I won't say that.
What'd they do to you?
They didn't do anything to me. It was kind of clicky.
Oh, I see. That was not me at all. Which I'm not. I'm a very loner. So I was just like, hey, I'm president, guys. This is what we're going to do. Come. It's going to be fun. You know.
How you gonna be a loner and be the president of the black student?
I mean, because I liked everybody, but I was a loner in the sense that I didn't have like a clique. Like, okay, I'm the president, but these are the people I hang out with in my off time. You know what I mean? I kind of just like ate lunch with everybody, ate dinner with everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Went to parties, invited people to my dorm, et cetera, et cetera. So have you ever had a teacher you would call bad?
A bad teacher? No. Oh, yes. Miss. I can't even think of her last name, but...
Damn, that's how bad she was.
Well, I'll tell you what I remember about her. She worked at Hooters when she was in college, and everybody used to Google her all the time to try to find her Hooters picture and how big her bust was and her waist was, so it was just kind of distracting.
Right? What would make her tell y'all that?
I don't know if she... I believe she did tell us that. I don't know, but she was, like, fresh out of college. But I was blessed to have some good teachers growing up, so I got really lucky. Some people do have bad teachers, and I hear a lot of stories about bad teachers now and just not being invested in their students, but that wasn't my experience. But I have a friend who has she majored in education, and she's a sub, and she tells me some pretty trifling stories that just make me mad and not even want to send my kids to school, but they got to go.
About the teachers?
Mm-hmm.
Like what?
And how they're racist. Oh, okay. And they say crazy stuff to the black students. Yeah. And how they just don't care about the students. But then again, sometimes I think it's kind of hard to be invested in your students with all of the new education laws that they have, the No Child Left Behind.
That's true.
And they just really want them to pass the test and not learn the material.
Right.
I remember a test that I made a 100 on in high school was one that it wasn't multiple choice. She gave us like 10 topics and said, pick 4 and write about them.
Damn.
Just tell me what you learned.
I hate those kind of tests.
I loved it.
I hate those kind of tests.
Little girl. My daughter just bit me, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I have a bite mark on my hip from Hunter biting me. Girl, I heard her tense cleat. I tapped that arm so hard, it was just a reflex. But anyway, I'm trying to think if I've had a bad teacher. One comes to mind, and I swear I hate this teacher because I've always... she was a history teacher in high school, and I've always loved history. Just because I love facts and I love learning about where we came from, blah, blah, blah. And everything I would say, I feel like she always tried to downplay it. Like I didn't know what I was talking about or like I was making it up. And I remember one day I said something and I described it as being very promiscuous. And I was like, it was very promiscuous for the time because, you know, people weren't really doing this. And it was just like something that, you know, I don't remember what it was, but it was something risky. And she was like, oh, you're such a girl, the way you describe things. And she didn't say anything else about anything else that I said. And I was just like, why do you always have to take everything I say and try to just, like, not acknowledge it? You acknowledge it, but you don't acknowledge it as, like, a fact or, like, a real comment. And then that's what
I was...
Did
you hear everything else I just said?
Right. And so I was just like, what's your problem, lady? You know, and she was a black teacher and everything. But so that just kind of made me feel like, you know, if I was a teacher, I would encourage my students and, you know, tell them to dig deeper or something. I'd have some real feedback or something. But I just agree with you. It's like bad teachers don't care, and they're just kind of, I won't say they're to collect a paycheck. I feel like bad teachers sometimes thought they wanted to be a teacher and thought they were going to save the world and it was going to be this very easy thing and they were going to make all these kids and parents smile, and it turns out that it was harder than they thought and now they don't know what to do. Which sucks for the kids, because the kids are the ones that suffer in the long run. I'm trying to think if I've had any other bad teachers. I feel like any other time I have a long laundry list of stuff teachers have done to me. But I can't even think.
We're going to take a quick pause. Okay, so we are coming back and talking about parent and teacher relationships. And so we found this little list online. Shout out to Edutopia. And it's just 7 questions to ask parents at the beginning of the school year. So I'm just going to rattle them off. Number 1 is, what do you see as your child's greatest strength or skills? Tell me about a time when you saw your child demonstrating these skills. What do you hope your child says about his or her experience in this school year at the end of the year? What's the story you hope he or she would tell? Number 3, what was your experience like in this grade? How do you remember that year of school? That's a good one, I think, to talk about with not just the teachers, the kids' teacher, but also with your kids, what you did in 9th grade versus what they're doing, you know?
Yeah. And the one, the greatest strengths or weaknesses, I think that's very important because not all kids have the same learning style.
I agree.
And I think that plays a big role in retaining information and learning and not just remembering stuff for the test.
Right. And, yeah, I definitely was the test rememberer quite a few times. Number 4, what are your fears or concerns about your child in this year of school?
That's a good one, too.
Number 5, how and when would you like me to be in touch with you this year? What do you hope I'd communicate with you? I think that's a good one, too. I'll go back to that one. Is there anything else you can tell me about your child that you would, that you think would help me support his or her learning? And number 7, is there a question you hope I'll ask about your child? Which I thought, this list isn't all-inclusive, obviously.
Yeah.
You know your child, so you'll know if there's certain areas you need to go harder on, or if certain things that you know for sure you want to come up cover with the teacher. But I like the one, how and when would you like me to be in touch with you this year? What do you hope I communicate with you about? And I like that because I feel like it gives teachers the option to say, you know, would you rather me send you an email? Are you sitting at your desk all day where you can't talk but you can see an email come through? Yeah. You know what I mean? Would you rather me text you? Would you rather me call you? Because I have friends, too, that complain about the teacher blowing up their phone all day. And it's just like, you know, why don't you call their dad? Or why are you calling me all day when I'm at work and I can't be taking personal phone calls? So I think that's a good one. And I like when teachers can kind of meet me where I'm at. I say that like I have a kid in school, but when I get a kid in school, I would appreciate when a teacher is like, you know what, let me try to contact her in the way that she asked me to.
My kids, thank you, and they call me a lot.
About what?
Just if one of my kids has a fever, oh, okay. They're constipated, it's good stuff, but every time they call me, I'm so nervous, like, what's going on, do I need to come pick them up? Like,
right.
Every time I see the phone ring, I'd be like, oh, shit.
Right.
But, let me see.
Oh, go ahead.
What was your experience like in 9th grade? I don't think that's important to ask. I mean, that's important for you to talk to your kid about, but...
True, I don't think the teacher needs to... Yeah. The parent needs to have a conversation about it, but I think it's good for the kid.
And... Definitely anything you can tell me about your child that you think will help me support his or her learning. Do you think it's important to tell the teacher if you're a single parent or not?
I don't know.
Sometimes, whether there's a parent in the household or not, plays a big role.
I would say on a need to know basis.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to keep secrets from the teacher because I feel like if you really are genuinely trying to help educate my child, then I want you to be able to do that. And I don't want to feel like, you know, my kid can't be comfortable because they want to come to school and not be able to tell their teacher certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want to be judged and I want my kid to be judged. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you looking at my kid like, oh, this poor high-risk youth with just a mom and no dad in the home. You know what I mean? I don't want you making excuses for them when they don't even need an excuse. You know what I mean? When they're fine.
That's a good point. Because they will be quick to... His mom is at work all the time. Somebody got to pay these bills. But I think I'm nervous about when my kids actually start going to school. Just because the classroom sizes are getting bigger and
definitely
not as many people are going into education. Sometimes I think I should have went into education because education reform is actually something that I'm pretty passionate about.
I would agree.
Especially after watching Waiting for Superman. You said you'd never seen it, but it's a documentary about education reform and like people starting charter schools and how the education system works since the No Child Left Behind was implemented. And they talk about how students are placed into honors classes versus standard classes. And they at the beginning, they said it's just, they put everybody's name into the computer system and they just randomly kind of filter off who goes in. It doesn't have anything to do with your IQ like they said it did. It's just a random computer selection.
That's crazy.
So some kids never even have a chance to be in the advanced classes. And when I was in high school, the advanced classes, I was in those, and we actually got to take our books home. If you were just in a standard class, you would have to rent the book.
What?
That's crazy. And sign it out and sign it back in. They would just have enough books for a classroom set.
That's crazy and unheard of. And it's just like, we're not even giving the kids a fair chance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not like when you were in high school, you wanted to go home and study, but even if you wanted
this
to,
is true.
You don't even have the option, really.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, you can't.
I remember when I was in middle school, we had like advanced English. And if you had advanced English, you could take a foreign language. And I remember there were only three of us in our class who took Spanish. And I don't remember any black seventh graders taking German or French. And I wonder if we were picked by random selection or if it had to do with our grades and our regular English class or what. Because I always wondered how I ended up in there. Because I'm like, I didn't sign up to take Spanish. I never told anybody I wanted to take Spanish. But here I am, one of three, taking a foreign language, and everybody else has, like, shop classes and, you know, whatever else they were doing, but they weren't taking a foreign language.
So you weren't required to take a foreign language?
Not everybody, no.
Oh, we were. We had to take at least two Spanish
classes. Yep, I started Spanish in seventh grade. So, I think the kids want candy, which means we're probably about to turn it up a notch. But that's crazy to me, so I don't know. It makes me feel like as a parent now, when Hunter goes to school, I'm going to have to go in and ask a million and one questions, which you already said we should ask questions, but now I'm going to be like, okay, so why was she not put in this class, or why was she put in this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go in and might have to cut up a little bit, because that was the only way, when I was in high school, that was the only way I got notified about scholarships that were available, because my mom called and kind of turned up on the guidance counselor.
Got
I would have to go in there and stop by there every day to see if there were scholarships available. Whereas the white kids just, they kind of already knew. Mm-hmm. And they had applied for this, that, and the other. And I would be like, how did you get those? Where did you get those from? And they would say, the guidance counselor. So I told my mom, and she called and
asked a few questions. Right. Seems like some resources haven't been shared around.
And a lady, my intern supervisor, she said, if you think that your child has any kind of giftedness, then you should inquire about that at the school. Like, if you think your child has any kind of special skills, special talent, then you should really fight for them to be in the gifted and talented programs at their schools.
Yeah, you are definitely your child's first advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like if the world don't know, if you are not there promoting their gifts, the world will never know.
Definitely.
You know?
And you have to push your kids. And I want to teach my kids to fight for their education too, so that it's not just me. I want them to want it for themselves.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree. And I want them to, like, not just want to be educated because I tell them to, but I want them to actually see the benefit in being smart and in learning things. You know what I mean? And not just, okay, I'm in school because somebody told me to, or because I want to make this career where I make a lot of money, so let me go learn this. But, you know, let me be a lifelong learner because it makes me a better person.
Yeah,
which sounds corny, but you know.
No, it's not corny. I've been thinking, how can I always keep their brain stimulated at home? I might have to do a little Color Purple action and get some index cards and write the names of stuff on cabinets and drawers and sinks. But
yeah,
whatever it takes, because it's hard out here. And the education system is just getting worse and worse. I read something about someone's mom. I don't know if it was Frederick Douglass, but no, it wasn't Frederick Douglass, but someone famous and black, their mom couldn't read, but she made her son read books and write reports about them and read them to her. I think that's really
good. I feel like I've
heard
that too. That
is. I just can't remember who it was. Sleepy girlfriend.
Yeah, I think that's really good too. I mean, anything to stress that importance to them of education and stress that learning and just keep their brain sharp. That's what I always want to do with Hunter. That's why a lot of times my mom would be like, you need to do this or do that, but I just like to watch her play and just see, you know what I mean, what she's going to try to put together or how she's going to solve a problem, how she's going to figure out how to get on top of something to get what she's trying to get to, which, you know, they obviously they're not always doing what they're supposed to be doing, but I do just want to, you know, see how
it's
her
cool.
brain works. Yeah, it's like I'm raising this little human and look at those little problem solving abilities. You know, look at her putting two and two together. All right, little peanut, you know. So I think it stuff like that makes me want to just see how much I can teach her. Just see how smart she can be.
Yep.
You know?
And sometimes I can be quick to try to get up and help Malik or do something for him. But his dad, when we're running dead, he'll be like, just wait, just watch and see what he does, and he'll figure it out. And I'm just like, mm-hmm. okay, you were yep. right. So I try to do that more, just let him figure things out on his
Stop.
Own.
Sorry. See, but you also have to watch them because they can figure stuff out and they figure out how to do the wrong things
like
just as
push
fast.
Push screens out of windows and throw balls into the backyard.
Right, and they definitely have done that. So I was going to ask that too. I'm glad you brought it up. So as far as like how you value education and your teaching style and how you want them to learn and their dad's value on education and his teaching style. So how do you find, do you see like a difference in that, or how do you guys?
Yeah,
you know?
It's a big difference in it because, you all done? Okay, thank you, baby. Because he sees them less, he's a little more lax mm-hmm. when it comes to it. So the way he sees it is that when they're with him, they're on vacation, basically.
Oh, God. And yeah. The kids aren't already on vacation.
Right. He sees it like they're on vacation. So I just try to make sure he at least goes over numbers and colors with them. Just simple stuff that you can do without taking too much time.
Can you still open it?
Can I open
right.
it?
Right. And it
doesn't
take nothing to go over like colors. And
I can't open
like
it.
That.
Yeah. And when we were, I think I education is more important to me. Of course, he doesn't want a dummy or dummies for kids. Oh, boy.
Right.
But I think he kind of leaves it up to me. Is this going no, Malik?
Well, yeah, I think dads definitely have the advantage of being the fun parent all the way around. Whether it has to do with, like, teaching your kids something or whether it's discipline or no matter what it is. I just feel like dads always get to play the fun role. Which I'm a little bit jealous of. Right, I would say I'm a little bit jealous of because I want to be the fun parent and not have to, you know, follow the rules or anything like that, but it is what it is. I'll be the enforcer all day and all night.
Exactly.
I'm the mama. I'm in charge. I make the rules. That's what I tell Hunter all the time.
Okay.
So as far as school and socialization, are you scared about your kids socializing with other kids? Does that make you nervous at all?
No, just because they are in daycare. And I ask the daycare teachers all the time, how are they doing socially? Are they interacting with other kids? And they always say when they come back from Kentucky, they're a lot more social and
really?
Nicer to their peers.
Aww, y'all being mean any other day?
So it really makes a difference. And I was nervous about them being social just because I was so shy growing up. Mm-hmm. But I really encouraged them to play with other kids. Like, even coming over here and Malik being able to play with Hunter.
Right.
Like, that's very helpful.
They are warming up to us, which
yeah.
I love to see.
So, it doesn't... Not anymore.
I'm actually very nervous about Hunter socializing with other kids. That's probably one of the things I'm most nervous about with her going to school in general, but especially public school. Just because I just feel like, you know, peer pressure is real and kids always want you to do dumb stuff. And luckily I was able to, I did some dumb stuff, but I didn't do anything too dumb. And luckily I was able to discern between what I should and what I shouldn't take risks with.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just nervous, you know. And other kids are crazy and your kids
yeah.
be calling the cop fox, you know what I mean? And they don't even have anything to do with it and stuff that happens to them. So it does give me a little bit of anxiety thinking about it.
Times definitely have changed, so that makes me a little bit nervous. But I just have to teach him to be a leader. Like the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And they
this
might not
true.
Do things right, but I'm telling myself constantly that I have to give Sissy a piece. But I have to keep loving them. And
mm-hmm.
I think their father's going to play a big role in teaching them how to be a leader. Because that's one of the things that I really liked about him. He always did his own thing. He never let anybody pressure him into anything, so I think he'll be a big help when it comes to that. I am a little nervous, though, just because you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You never know what's
mm-hmm.
going to happen.
Yeah, that's probably the thing I'm most nervous about, so I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know. Hunter struggled with the socialization piece early on just because it was me and her for so long, and I never had a babysitter. And there
yeah.
aren't a whole lot of kids in our family. So, like, we go around other kids and she'd cry the whole time because she's just like, what are all these other little people in my face? Why do they want to play with me? I don't know them. I don't want to play with them. But now she's definitely more social and she remembers the kids' names when they come over here and all that. So it's like, at least I know I don't have a mute child that's not going to be, at least, you know what I mean? She's not
yeah.
going to be the kid that doesn't talk to anybody at all, just doesn't say two words.
That's how I was feeling before they started daycare, though. I was like, They are not going to know how to act when they get around other kids. They're going to be socially awkward.
Right.
It's worked out well.
Open it.
And they'll send me pictures of them at school. And I'm just like, Mahari is so social.
I believe it. He seems like a social kid. He's the oldest. I feel like the oldest child's always more social to start out.
That was the case with me, though. I was always really shy growing up.
Really? My sister had all the friends.
All my sisters are social, but...
And then I grew up and finally decided how to come out of a shell.
And ate all of Hunter's candy.
That's okay. She's not allowed to have candy. We need to talk about that 1 week.
Yeah, because I'm the same way with them. It's really giving me the jitters.
Yeah, Hunter's not allowed to have candy either. That's why it's on top of the refrigerator.
I ate their Easter candy.
I don't even eat candy that much anymore. See, I should have gave hers to you.
Gave it to my coworkers.
So let's see. What else do you think about teachers? What else you got to say about a teacher?
I don't really have so much to say about teachers just because I know how things are going. I feel like the school system is going downhill. So what I mostly just have to say is...
Isn't that scary?
Yeah, it is. Is that we as parents have to be very involved and we do have to try to keep good communication with the teachers. But I think we have to be involved with our kids at home when they're doing their homework and we have to make sure they're understanding the information. So... I don't really have too much to say about the teachers, more so about the parents and just making sure their kids are on their game.
Would you ever homeschool your kids?
Girl, no.
You wouldn't?
I don't want to do that.
I would love to do it. If I could afford it, I would definitely. Oh, come on, kids. Let me teach you guys how to count today. Let me teach you ABCs. That would make me nervous.
I would love it. I was raising a dummy.
The only thing I would be nervous about, like when it's time to do fractions and stuff like that. But I would love to teach grammar, give grammar lessons and basic arithmetic. You know, history, all that little stuff. It just seems like it'd be fun because you can teach them the real truth. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about schools only teaching them half. You know what I mean? Or they learn about the same black history facts every year type deal. Yeah. So it's like they get to learn all the stuff that you think is important. And obviously there's standards, state standards, I think that they still have to be tested on, blah, 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 to make sure that they can pass and go to high school. But I would love to homeschool my kids if that was an option. I can't believe you don't want to. What wouldn't you like about it? Being at home all day?
Or? I wouldn't like being obligated to do it, every day, being at home. I would just always be like, I'm teaching them everything that they need to know.
We go on a field trip every 2 days.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
We're to the grocery store.
Right. It's like we run out of places to go in this little town.
Right. That's all we would do is probably take pictures. Let's go to the zoo. Let's go to the children's museum.
Right. Let's count the zebras.
I did take a couple of teaching classes in college, but there's only a couple of things that I can teach about hair and health.
How'd you come to that?
Well, I know how to do hair, and I do a lot of research on hair because I'm natural, so I got to know what to do. And I'm really passionate about health.
Oh gosh.
So that's what I like.
I don't know. I feel like you could teach basic kids stuff. Once they start getting to like 6th and 7th grade, then you might be like, okay, time to call in a tutor.
Because my friend, he's kind of like my cousin. Our moms are best friends. She homeschooled him, and she made him repeat the 5th grade, the grade that she homeschooled him in.
Damn. I'd be like, Mama.
Exactly.
I got some words for you, Mama.
She was like, so he basically just took a year off. That's too long.
Yeah, that's a problem. I mean, if you can't teach the kid, that's why I said, by the time they get to 6th, 7th, maybe even 5th grade, it's time to send them on. I mean, that too. But I'm just saying, once you realize you can't do it, it's time to just say, okay, I can't do it. So, do you feel like, how involved do you want your teachers to be in your students' personal life? You know what I mean? As far as, like, if your child is, like, 6th grade, they have their first little boyfriend, do you want your teacher to be able to pull your student aside and be like...
That's a good
say
question.
Say anything at all, or do you want them to just mind their business?
If they see them doing something inappropriate, then I want them to say something. But, you know, that's life. Okay. I didn't have a boyfriend in 6th grade. I wasn't thinking about no boyfriend in 6th grade, but...
I had one.
As long as they are learning in class, then good. If they have a good relationship with the teacher, then I think it's okay for them to say something. But I don't know.
Don't just be a random teacher rolling up on my child.
Telling her to do this, that, and the other, because that'll make me roll up on you. But
I agree. But I think on some levels, it goes back to having a village. Mm-hmm. And that whole village raises a child. So it's like if it's a teacher that Hunter is kind of close with, or that, is taking Hunter kind of under her wing, and she sees Hunter, hanging out with boyfriend, then I wouldn't have a problem with them having a conversation. But if you just like a teacher, I don't know. And she don't really talk to, you know.
I think I need to have a close relationship to the teacher. Because you never know what that teacher is going to tell you.
That's true, too. That's true. That's absolutely true, too. And I would appreciate if the teacher called me and said, hey, you know, I saw your daughter doing this and I did tell her that, but XYZ, but I do want you to know what our conversation was about. Because at the end of the day, I'm the mama. But
they could do that. If they see something inappropriate, then they need to tell me.
I would respect that.
Yeah.
And I would appreciate that, too. Rather than you just, you know, thinking, oh, I'm a mom, too. Let me go ahead and step in. Like, honey, we don't need you to do all that.
Yeah. Stay in your place, teacher.
Right. Thanks, but no thanks. Kid out. But I definitely think that, you know, teachers should be more than teachers at the same time. They should have the option to be just a teacher. You know, you shouldn't have to be the teacher and the parent and the babysitter. You know what I mean? And the person who's teaching the kids discipline. You should be able to come to work and just teach their little badasses and not have to do all the extra.
And if you see my child cutting up in class, you better let me know.
Right. Because I'm going to show up.
Very important.
Right. I'm going to show up and be sitting in the back of class like, okay, clown, if you want to. You act like a clown, I'm going to take you to the bathroom. We're going to have a little talk.
Oh, my goodness. There is this video on Facebook that I love. Things Black Moms Say. And it was like, now, if I got to take off work because you don't know how to act.
Man.
Oh, baby, you don't want that. And it cracks me up because my mama said all of that stuff to me.
I used to hear that
all the time.
Keep
on listening to your little friends. They're going to get your ass whooped.
Right. I'm not one of your little friends. I used to hear about her from taking off work. Everything. If you say it, I've probably heard it.
Right.
Because I was a little active, I'll say, back in middle school.
I wish I was.
I kind of grew out of it in high school.
Good morning, everybody.
Peanut, it's not morning. But you, Peanut, back on up. This is going to be my problem child when she goes to school because she don't listen.
She don't listen to you. She probably listen to everybody else. That's
she might, but from what I can tell, she don't listen. She does what she wants to. She thinks she can just squeeze in anywhere. Uh-oh, see?
That's
taking
your seat.
So, I'm really interested, I don't know, in how you guys deal with parents. I wish more people would have commented on our post and told us kind of like some of their stories and experiences.
Let us know, y'all.
Because I know somebody out there is not having a good time with their teacher. Not that I want to harp on the negative, but I would like to discuss it just so we can, like, you know, give pointers to other parents that might be dealing with the same thing, you know, or even if we had some teachers, and that's why we need Lex here for this, because Lex is the guidance counselor at the middle school.
We're missing Lex today, y'all.
And I know she would have had some stories and some perspectives from both sides to share with us. That would have been awesome, but that's okay. That's fine. Have you ever met a daddy at a school? Or at daycare?
Yeah, we have parent meetings at the daycare.
Oh, really, though?
Yeah, that is so attractive to me.
When the dad, you know, I do love when the dad show up and they look gray sweatpants, they little fresh kicks.
No, girl, they didn't have on sweatpants. They had on
Nike
a suit and tie.
Well, that too. But the girl, that's even better. What is going on? Oh, I'm sorry, Judy. You okay? Her barrette was stuck in the chair. But yeah, the suit and tie is even better. Daddy, for real.
Okay. I've seen, I think, 3 dads. At one, and that's just that one meeting.
Did y'all exchange numbers?
No, I was still shy back then. That was my pre-Tiki Bob days. Next time I got them.
I know, right?
But you know what? I've been thinking I'm going to just leave it alone. I won't be initiating anything else. And I've been meeting some losers. I got bad taste.
At least you've been meeting somebody. I don't know. I've been like recircling old ones, and I don't even need to do it. I'm just like, Lauren, there's really no spark here. Or is there a spark and I'm just not giving it a chance? I don't know, but it's just like, you know, I need to chill out too.
I haven't been willing to be bothered. When somebody just texts me and I'm like, what do you want?
I know, right? I'm so bored though, I do want to be bothered.
Phone dry.
Right, that sounds so bad. I'm so bored, I do want to be bothered.
What about your older guy friend? Give us an update.
I decided to let that go because it was just like, I feel like I wasn't going to get what I wanted out of the situation, but him being older and already established, he could get what he wanted out of the situation, so I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna wait for my Boaz.
Me too.
Say forget this, you know, because I still really want to get married. I don't think he wanted to get married again. I think he was satisfied with his situation. I think that with his financial situation, he didn't want to be financially tied to somebody else again. Blah blah blah. Whatever. I don't care. Either way it go, like I said, that's fine. But I just want to feel like I'm in a situation where it works for me and not just the other person. So I was just like, well. Yeah, you know.
So did y'all have a conversation, or did you just
We did have a conversation. We didn't. It's crazy. I don't know. It's weird how it happened. We had the conversation about the whole finances and all that. And then I was like, okay. So then I was kind of stepped back and wasn't answering really calls and stuff. And so he was just like, "What did I do?" Blah blah blah. And
I hate when they answer the
call so bad. I know, right? And it's just like, well, your money's tied up. No, I'm just kidding.
I got a key.
Right? But no, it was just like I just want to be with somebody that can invest in me the same way I can invest in them.
Yeah.
Like I know I have like one daughter. That's my obligation. But I don't have like bills with somebody else or finance. You know what I mean? I don't have any of those situations with another person that's gonna stop me from being with the person I'm supposed to be with. And so I just felt like, you know, when God sends me something for me, it'll be totally 100% unquestionably mine, you know? So I was just like, and I had to actually block his number because he always calls when we're recording. If you ever notice, my phone always rings when we're recording and I'm always like, shit, stop calling me. So I was just like, I don't want any interruptions today.
Well, I had a stalker situation. A guy messaged me on Instagram. And I ended up giving him my number, and he just kept calling me.
Don't you hate that?
I do hate it, so I never answered his calls. I stopped answering his text messages, and he was like, "Do you ever answer the phone?" And after about 9 unanswered text messages, he texted me and said, "Okay, cool." So after that, I blocked him. He has sent me a friend request on every social media outlet.
Damn, how did
you
find me, bro?
And sent me another one. Sent me 2 friend requests on every social media outlet.
I'm like, how the hell did you find me?
How did you have 2 accounts on?
Blocked.
How do you have 2 accounts on Snapchat? Like, how do you make 2 Snapchats?
I know, that's crazy. I have 2 Facebooks, but 2 Snapchats is a little extreme.
Yeah.
That's a little extreme.
He even got 2 Instagrams.
That's a little extreme. You're crazy.
The candy is gone.
It's all gone.
It's almost bedtime.
It's all gone. But yeah, so now, Malik is so cute when he makes it.
No, he's not.
Well, so now I'm just chilling, riding the single boat, trying to see if we bump into any icebergs or, you know, hit the Bermuda Triangle, something. It's summertime, so it's a good time to be single.
Yeah, I guess. I'm bored.
I know. I'm bored, too. I hate when I have my window open and the fan blowing at night and I'm just laying here like, some cuddles would be nice. Right. Like, it would be so nice to have somebody here with me.
No, I'm about to go celibate. Just forget about it.
I know, but I've been I can't even call it celibate because I don't know if it was by choice or not. But I've been celibate for almost a year now, so I'm like, it's about that time to put some poom poom on some.
You know what I'm saying? I try to do it once a month. I'm hitting my 3-week mark in this.
I know,
looking
right?
So good for me.
I know. Hopefully, we'll trade spots. You get to go into a drought, and
no,
I can go into.
I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Well, this has been episode, what is this now, 6? I think this is actually 7. Yep, Ladies Night 7. I think I said 6 in the beginning, but we're actually on episode 7. And look for us. Hopefully in the next week or so, we will get on iTunes like we said before. And we will get on SoundCloud. Follow us on Instagram, like our Facebook page, Ladies Night Podcast. Share, comment, invite people to like.
Let us know what you want to hear.
Let us know what you want to hear. Tell us why you're mad. Experiences, all of that good stuff. Just stay connected with us, and we'll try to stay connected with you. So hopefully soon we'll be going on some promo tours. So let us know if you have any events coming up that you would like the ladies to come out to, looking cute, because we do that very well. And this is Ladies Night. This is Lauren and Chanet signing out.
This is Miss Nika, baby.
Miss Nika, baby.
Women always trying to sing.
I know, right? It's such a habit. My boss does that, too. But all right, you guys have a good night, good day, and this was Ladies Night. We out. Peace.